comedian, actress, and jazz musician, is here to talk about her new show, The Last Butch Standing, and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
Tell us about The Last Butch Standing.
Well, first of all, the entire title is The Last Butch Standing, Chronicles of an Old School Butch Living in a Post-Ellen Modern Queer World. So you got to get that tag in. And once you get that tag in, I pretty much don't have to tell you anything about the show. I think that the tag and the title tells you exactly what's going on in this show. I mean, it's no different than any other Leah Delaria show. I found a format 30 years ago when I started performing, which used very strongly both the comedy and music, and I've just stayed with that format for 30 years. It's worked really, really well for me. And that format, I'm talking about issues that I think we as queer people should be talking about and frankly aren't talking about, and, you know, presenting them in the way that I present them, and, you know, trying to get out there and be heard.
What was your inspiration for the show? And you mentioned issues. I mean, what issues do you find to be the most prominent?
Well, right now, almost everyone in America is talking about the election. Most comics are talking about the election. I'm not talking about that. When I started working on this, the Olympics were running. I wasn't talking about the Olympics. It's not about world issues. It's really about what's happening for us in our modern gay society and how things have changed in the 21st century and how we address each and every one of those changes. Personally, I find that we've become perhaps a little too mainstream, a little too middle class, you know, a little too assimilation. I think that we've lost our queer edge, who we were as queers. We're so busy defining ourselves by these myriads of little clumped communities that we have just joined together to call ourselves, this is who we are, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, and that we've forgotten who we are just as queers. And I'm addressing that a lot in this show.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
My personal commitment? That's hilarious. What is Leah Delaria's personal commitment to queer rights? How about my entire fucking life? That's really funny. I have been completely out for 30 years. I've been, everything I've done, every step I've taken has been to further a positive perception of queers within the world. So that's my commitment. And I'll never do anything other than that. I mean, there was a time in the 90s where they wanted me to wear lipstick. That was when lipstick lesbian thing was all the rage in the early 90s. And there was a time where they wanted me to wear lipstick, and I did it for about 6 months. And then I went, I can't do this anymore. This is not who I am. And not only is it not who I am, it's not who millions and millions and millions of dyke butches are out there. And someone has to present that image. Someone has to be that person for those little butch dykes to see. That one's going to be me every time.
What was your reaction to Obama and the Democratic platform finally coming out in support of marriage equality?
I guess I have a two-pronged way of looking at that. I mean, there's a part of my brain that goes too little, too late kind of stuff. I mean, sometimes I get very impatient when it comes to just kind of basic things like queer marriage, gay marriage. It just seems so simple and basic, and it's been around for so long that I can't believe I had to wait until 2012 for it to happen, but okay. And then the other side of my brain is like, finally, good, yes, this is a step forward that we've taken with a lot of fight. And, I mean, seriously, gays have been getting married for a very long time, you know what I mean, without government support, blah, 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 blah. But it's just, it seems like such a tiny step to have to fight so hard for. But also, I've been around a long time, so I get that everything we do is very, what I call, ugly progress. We take two steps forward, we take three steps back. We take four steps forward, we take one step back, and then we've actually progressed one step. I mean, it's been really kind of a hard struggle for us since Stonewall and before. So, I mean, I'm thrilled that it's there. And then, of course, there's this whole thing about how that's really not my issue. I'm addressing this very strongly in my show. This is the sort of stuff that I worry about as queers. That we spend a lot of time working on queer marriage. We spend a lot of time working on that. And I just feel like sometimes, why is it that gay people feel like we need to get married? I mean, deep down inside us, where is that coming from? Are we doing it because of the political ramifications of getting married and the tax breaks and the things that you get being a family as a married family? Or are we doing that because somewhere deep inside we feel that our relationships aren't as good as straight people?
It's a valid point.
I know, and it doesn't get raised a lot because it's politically incorrect, but I have to wonder about that. And this is a disease or a sickness that I see within the whole queer community right now, how we're taking on our politics, how we present ourselves. We don't even know who we are anymore, I think. We're so busy trying to please other people to get what it is that we need. And I think that that's where we need to take a cue from, like the old Jewish movement and the old civil rights movement. I don't need you to like me. I do not need straight people to like me as a gay person at all. I could give a fuck about whether or not they like me. I demand their respect. That's what I think we need to do more of.
What's your spin on Romney and the anti-gay Republican platform?
You know, what spin is there to have on that? That's what you expect, isn't it? I mean, that's what the Republicans do. When have the Republicans ever had a positive gay platform? That's why gay Republicans freak me out. The log cabin people and those people, I just can't understand them. To me, they're like the Jews for Jesus. I don't get them either. I will never get these people. The Republicans have never been our friend. They never will be our friend. They're Republicans. That's what they do. So my spin is, same as always, and what the hell are we doing with queer Republicans? It's insane. It's insane.
Actually, the log cabin Republicans actually endorsed Mitt Romney.
It's hilarious. Here's what I think about that. Whether or not I know or aware of who the gay Republicans endorse, like, I don't even like to call them the log cabin Republicans. It's like, how fucking homophobic are they? They can't even say the word gay in their, you know, title. I mean, the gay Republicans are always going to endorse Republican candidates. Always. I don't care about them. They're a lunatic fringe. They're as lunatic as the Tea Party, as far as I'm concerned. You know, the only issue is they got a lot of money. So as queer people, we sure like to have their money on our side. But it's going against us. I mean, are they really that blind? Do they not see that? One guy who's a friend of mine who's a gay Republican, he lives in Washington, D.C. I never see him. We've been friends since high school. And the only way we remain friends is we only see each other maybe every 5 or 6 years. And when we do, we don't say anything about politics. He won't come to my shows. He can't take it.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
You know that gay teens have always been 4 times more likely to commit suicide. First of all, I want to say that. This is not a new statistic. This has been since I was a teenager. This has been around a very long time. There's a couple things about this I find interesting. I find it interesting that suddenly, as gay people, we seem to be aware of this issue that has been very prominent within our community, as I said before, for ages. So in some respect, I feel like some of this has become the darling of the gay media. And I think that it's probably good that we can see this and that we can focus on it happening. What I think is needed is more direct contact with the teens. I mean, instead of just reporting that this thing is out here and that this is happening, it would be very great if the gay media could get involved with helping us reach out and touch some gay teens. I would say a couple things to them. First of all, I would say bullying gays is nothing new. It's been happening forever. I got bullied as a gay teen. People who are older than me got bullied as a gay teen. And some of me wants to say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, get on with your life. Right? I mean, really, get on with your life. And the other side of me also wants to say, look, we have this whole campaign about how it gets better. Of course, if you've been queer as long as I have, honey, it doesn't just get better, it gets bitter. So you might want to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and hang in there and, you know, learn how to overcome a bully. Learn how to overcome a bully. Because that is going to be something that you will take with you on down the road and through the rest of your life, because you will get bullied. I'm 54 years old and I get bullied every day. Somebody always says something about me being queer. Always. Sometimes with the best intentions. But it comes from a place of great homophobia. So, gay teen, you have to get past this stuff.
How can people get info about where you're going to be performing and tickets for the Last Butch Standing?
Oh, well, Last Butch Standing is at the Oberon Theater. You can certainly contact ART, the American Repertory Theater. That's what that stands for. You can contact ART. You can go to the Oberon Theater. You can check me out on my website. That'll also help you get tickets. And I think it's one show only.
I'm working very hard on this show because it's going to be done at the Dixon Place Festival here in New York in July, and then we're going to take it on to the Edinburgh Festival and Just for Laughs, and looking to get this filmed and turned into an HBO special. That's the whole idea. And Boston will always be a big part of any of that.
What other projects are you working on?
I've got so many right now. First of all, I've just been cast in a brand spanking new television show. We just started filming about 4 weeks ago, entitled Orange is the New Black. It's based on the best-selling memoir, Orange is the New Black, and takes place in a women's prison. I am playing a character called Big Boo, so entitled because she gets all the young girls in prison. I'm kind of like everybody's daddy, and, which I love. And it's a dramedy, and it stars a lot of really great people, Jason Biggs, Natasha Lyonne. I mean, just a great, great show. I'm currently filming that, and you'll look for that probably in the fall of next year. That's the way television shows work. I am going in the studio to record my next record on the Warner Jazz label called House of David, Solaria plus Bowie equals Jazz, and that is exactly as it sounds. It is jazz covers of David Bowie tunes. That should be out in the spring. We're recording at the end of the year. And I'm also in a brand new musical here in New York called Amandine, which is playing at the Cherry Lane Theater in January. Fantastic new musical by a great, great composer named Lance Horn. And, so I'm busy. And working on The Last Butch Standing, trying to get that up. So, there you go. Many projects.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Really interesting. It depends on the difficult times. I have a kind of a life motto that I use quite a bit, and called Now is the Time. And that's like my life motto, although I sometimes use the Reader's Digest version of that, which is fuck it. So... these are the two things that keep me going in life, yeah. And for me, that's about trying to remain present and right in the moment. As a performer, that's really important. As a musician, that's incredibly important. And as an actor, everything I do is based on being present in the moment, listening to people and responding to what they say. And I think we forget to do that as human beings quite a bit. We spend a lot of time worrying about the future or focusing on the past. So now is the time, for me, is just now, present. Now, it's important.